Well, we're certainly glad you're here. Thanks for tuning in. It is Wednesday, February 22nd, 022212. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family, because each and every person that tunes in, hey, you're grafted in. You're part of the radio listening family, and our hope and our desire and our prayer is that through our broadcast throughout the day, throughout the evening, maybe even overnight, you're drawn closer to God, you're encouraged by what's said and shared, or maybe you're convicted. Maybe you're praying through a circumstance or situation and God brings clarity to what you're thinking or clarity to the way you're supposed to move forward. Or maybe you're wrestling with a topic and he reinforces it through some Bible teaching, maybe through some inspirational music, you get an idea or a concept, and our goal is to draw you closer to God. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing time on the radio with us. Before I formally ask Jason what's the Lord been teaching him, and I'm going to do that in just a minute. Jason, what's been happening of late? I've been calling up some of our radio listeners and recording radio spots. And just the other day I had Lynn Hawkins on the phone. She's the secretary, you know, the secretary extraordinaire, those that serve in that capacity right. At churches, you know how they run things. Mm-hmm. Well, she serves at the Paxton United Methodist Church, and she had emailed me the other day, and through some correspondence, I asked her, would she be willing to do a little testimony? So I recorded her over the phone, and then the other day I got a testimony from Londa Roefling from Savoy. And she gave a little testimony on her birthday's coming up and how she's given tickets to our Steve Green, Michael Card, Twyla Paris, Wayne Watson event.
Oh, you told me about that, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're someone that's a regular listener and you've seen God use these radio broadcasts to further equip you in your faith journey or to change you or to encourage you or to bless you, I would love to record a little radio spot. It's really non-threatening. It's very easy. We just talk through the phone lines and I can put it all together, add music, and make you sound even better than you would remember. So call the station sometime and let me know. You can call us at 217-367-7777. We love to hear from our Indiana listeners. You could dial toll-free 1-888-333-9466, or you can just send us an email, staff@greatnewsradio.org, and tell us you have a little testimony you would like to share or record, and we'll get back to you in the coming weeks. But had some fun talking with some listeners of late, and that's always a real blessing, and got a lot of great feedback on Monday and Tuesday's broadcasts with the interview of Jeremy Lin, and I truly believe that God is using this follower of the Lord Jesus to influence not only basketball and those that tune in throughout the United States, but I have heard that he's impacting, I can't say hundreds of millions, but China has a lot of people, yeah. But many millions in light of Lin Mania that's captivating the whole world. All these sports announcers and everyone are talking about Jeremy Lin, but I think God can certainly use it. And so I wanted to share the 2 days of broadcast, not only to encourage you, because I think it's a powerful transformational story, but to get you praying for how God may work in and through him. So if you think of Jeremy Lin, he's somebody that's on the, what maybe you could say, the front lines, even though he's very popular and an NBA star, if you will. I think God's using his testimony and can influence many people. So pray for Jeremy Lin. If you missed Monday or Tuesday's broadcast, stop by greatnewsradio.org and go to our archive programs link. I posted a picture of Jeremy Lin right there on the homepage, and listen to the 2 days of testimonies. I know you'll be blessed by what he had to say and share. Speaking of sharing, speaking of what you have to say, what's the Lord teaching you, Jason?
We've been having a powerful time on Sunday mornings. We do that chronological Bible reading at the church. And then we have a group. It's an open group, so anybody who comes to the church is invited to come in there. Anybody who doesn't come to the church, anybody who wants to come at 9:30 in the morning on Sunday. We're just arguing, wrestling, tackling what's happening as we're reading the Bible chronologically. We're currently in Leviticus, but the discussion is still in the Exodus.
And let me argue with that word arguing, because you're not really arguing. I wouldn't say arguing as people think, like it's an argument. It's more of a dividing God's word, various opinions,
yeah,
kind of wrestling is a better word.
Yeah, I think our Western interpretation of argument is tied to winning. I could be wrong. I don't have a Webster's dictionary in front of me, but I think that the true meaning of argument is more that we come to terms with something. Argument is kind of maybe tied to wrestling in terms of the etymology of the word. That was a good word, etymology.
But arguing, I often
you know how much money that cost me to be able to say that word from college?
Yeah. But arguing usually, yeah, winners and losers,
right.
But there's usually hostility or it's argumentative
right.
Or it's a real negative. And I didn't want that to be perceived that it's a negative filled
discussion.
You want
to delete this part?
Yeah.
Jason, what have you been learning this week?
I've been learning how to argue.
With Mark about what arguing means. So we get together and we tackle what God's word means. And
now tackle, isn't that a football term where people get injured and hurt? Okay, no more derailment.
Who watches that all wrestling or what? We have an iron cage in the room and it comes down, you know, like, hey, what have you been learning this week? Well, I think in Exodus 33 I saw this. The cage comes down, the bare knuckles come out, and we fight for Jesus.
Yes.
So we have been gently discussing
fellowship. Lots of fellowship.
Yeah, a lot of fellowship. We've been gently discussing with hugs and words of encouragement what God's word means in our lives.
Yes.
And now we'll talk about the wrath of God.
Yes.
So we have been talking about and wrestling and just really trying to go through and see what it means to follow God and his word. And we're reading it chronologically. So we're supposed to be in the Leviticus, and most of us are in the reading. But in terms of talking, we're still in the Exodus because the Exodus is just such a rich piece mm-hmm. of text. I've still been also wrestling with the piece of text from the John MacArthur interview, Hebrews 13:17, where it says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They must keep watch over you as men who must give an account. And I haven't been dwelling in this because I'm thinking about, hey, why don't the people at the church submit more to me? But I've been thinking about it in terms of, I have to give an account for these people. And so what does that mean? Does that mean that I come in front of God and I just kind of tell their story? I come in front of God and I just kind of go like, well, God, you know, this guy over here, he did this, and this guy over here, he did this, and this guy over here, he did this. But during the reading of the Exodus, I've been really captivated by how Moses gives an account for the people of Israel. I mean, in Exodus 32, with the whole golden calf incident, starting in verse 9, the Lord says, you know, Moses comes down and the Lord says, I've seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation. Hmm. So it's like the Lord is gonna just wipe them out. His anger has burned against them. And then from verses 11 down to verses 13, Moses pleads. He gives an account for them. He goes, do you remember your servant Abraham? I mean, this is God. I mean, you don't have to like go, God, do you remember something? I mean, God remembers it all. But he goes, God, do you remember Abraham? Remember Isaac and Israel, whom you swore by your own self? I'll make their descendants as numerous as the stars. Moses goes and he intercedes. It reminds me, too, of when Abraham intercedes for Lot at Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, hey, God, if there's 50 righteous men here, will you still do this? Well, what if there's only 45 righteous men? Will you still do? I mean, he whittles it down to like five guys. And he goes, will you still do this? But Moses intercedes here. And it says in verse 14, then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. And then Moses goes down the mountain. And me and Mark were joking about this before the program. And I want to just qualify this by saying this. I don't know if maybe when I was younger I watched too many movies or too much TV or I don't know what it was. But sometimes I read the Bible and I hear very specific voices for certain people. I cannot read that chapter, you know, in Job where it says, who darkens my counsels with words without knowledge, you know, and not hear Jack Nicholson going, you can't handle the truth.
Yes.
So I'm reading the next part of this passage here where Moses comes down with the tablets and he sees the whole golden calf incident and he's like, Aaron, what's with the calf? And Aaron's like, I don't know. And I told Mark, I said, it's like a Seinfeld episode. It's like Moses is Jerry Seinfeld and like Aaron is like George Costanza and he's like, what's with the calf? You know, and Aaron's like, I don't know. I don't know what happened with the calf. You just see here. They threw their stuff in the fire and now we have a calf.
Look what came out.
Yeah, look. So we worshipped it. I don't know. You know, and so I hear these voices in my head. So that's maybe my own thing I need counseling for or not. I'm not sure. So then we have that whole incident with the golden calf. And Moses is like, oh, you know, I just went to God and interceded for you. And you did it again. And then in Exodus 33, always one of me and my wife's favorite verses. It makes us laugh when we read it. God's talking about you're going to go do this and you're going to go do this. You're going to, you know, and he says, but I will not go with you because you're a stiff-necked people and I might destroy you along the way. You know, God in his infinite wisdom goes, you really irritated me. And if I go with you, I might destroy you along the way. You know, sometimes I'll tell my wife with the kids, I'll say, you know what, I got to go in the other room lest one of these kids get a spanking today. You know, and so I can connect with this passage. But once again, Moses makes intercession with God concerning this. God says, hey, stiff-necked people, I'm going to destroy them along the way. Down a little farther in verse 5, it says, tell the Israelites, you are... Now God says, go tell them how mad I am. Go tell them I think they're a stiff-necked people. And that if I even go with them, even for a moment, I might destroy them. Take off your ornaments and decide what you're going to do. And then we go down to the part with the tent of meeting, and it says that Moses met with God face-to-face as a man speaks with his friend. So let me qualify it with this. On Sunday morning, we had a discussion about this because one of the people questioned, they said, well, what is God like? I mean, here it says that Moses met with him face to face, but in other parts of the Bible, it says that God says, you can't even see my face or else you'll die. And it says that the hand of God and all these different things, which are very metaphorical for the human experience. So John Calvin said this, and I liked the way John Calvin said it. He said, when God illuminated his word to us, there were some things that he had to put into terms of like baby talk so that we could understand it. Baby talk not being goo, goo, ga, ga, but baby talk meaning like face to face, my hand reaching out. Because we wouldn't understand the outstretched presence of the Lord in the same way we'd understand his hand reaching out. Because it was a physicality that we could really grab a hold of and understand. I mean, somebody reads about the outstretched hand of the Lord. They look at their own hand and they possibly think about times that they reach out and they grab a hold of somebody. And it gives them a connection that they might not have had. I mean, some people, just the idea of the presence of the Lord is so difficult to wrap your head around. Then if you would speak in other terms instead of actually more human terms, you might get lost. So I love that John Calvin said that God kind of speaks to us in that way so that we can grab a hold of and we can actually understand. So Moses does all this again. You know, he goes up on the mountain, he meets with God. Show me your glory, you know. God says, no, but you can see my back because my face can't be seen. And then once again, in chapter 34 and verse 5, Moses bowed down to the ground at once and worshiped, O Lord, if you found favor in your eyes, he said, listen to this, he says, O Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us, although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin, and take this as your inheritance. Take us as your inheritance. Moses doesn't say, O Lord, if we have found favor with you. He says, if I have found favor with you. That same passage in Hebrews, it says that I have to, me as the pastor, because I pastor a church, I have to give an account of the people that I pastor. Moses here is giving an account for these people. He's almost acting as that intercession point between the Lord and these people. I mean, that passage that we discussed a long time ago on the radio about Moses being the most humble man, but the word humble is not the right word. In Hebrew, it's more a connotation of being afflicted, of a great weight pressing against you. It's a passage like this that goes, I get that. I get that, because Moses doesn't say, have we found favor? Moses said, if I have, let me take these people upon and let me make intercession for these people. Let me tell you, these people are going to come back around with some good teaching, with some good leading, some prayer, some just seeking you, and I'm going to help guide that. I'm going to shepherd that. But I'm going to take the burden upon myself.
You know, I think earlier when you referenced how Moses interceded for the people, and this is pretty true, I think most people know, Moses had some temper issues, you know, when he killed the Egyptians, and he had some anger issues maybe. Well, I wonder if God said some of those words, I'm going to pulverize them, I'm going to kill them, to solicit, to get a response from Moses. And what did Moses do? I think Moses had learned the lessons. He cared for the people. He interceded. He said, oh, God. I mean, I wonder if God was saying some of those things. I'm going to wipe them all out. I'm going to destroy them, to see what kind of response he was going to get from Moses. And Moses had learned the lesson, and Moses had took to heart that he was to shepherd, to care for these people. And I'm just wondering if God raised some of those questions just to really see how Moses was going to respond. And he passed the test by saying, oh, Lord, care for these people. Help me, guide me, strengthen me, equip me.
He could have. I mean, I'm always kind of careful in saying some of those kinds of things because we just don't know. I mean, you know, Psalm 115 says, the Lord in heaven, he does as he pleases. I mean, we don't know. God's ways are not our ways.
Right.
You know, so I'm always careful to say maybe God was trying to teach a lesson here to Moses. But I do think that there's way more depth to what God, every word that God speaks to you and me and through the scripture is way more loaded than we even believe. So I found it very powerful how Moses was giving an account, making intercession. He was standing in the gap between the people and God, because God multiple times here over these three chapters is ready to just wipe them out. Mm-hmm. He's done. He's ready to do that. Moses is the only thing. I mean, God meets with him face-to-face like a friend. And that face-to-face in Hebrew, once again, it's not a physical face-to-face, but what it means is there's an intimacy to their relationship. There's an openness. It also means that God is speaking to him in a literal, real voice. It's not a vision. It's not a dream. It's not some sort of convoluted kind of, you know, spiritual experience. It is God's voice speaking to him in an honest and goodness, honest to goodness way. So I love that Moses does this. Now, I want to point out something else because some of you are going, hey, I get that, but I'm not a pastor. Okay, I get that too. Because most of the people out there listening are probably not pastors. They're probably not making intercession between the people and God. They're probably not in a position where they go, I don't have to give an account for somebody, but boy, oh boy, somebody has to give an account for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it says here in 33:11 when we talked about Moses speaking face to face as a man speaks with his friend. It says, then Moses would return to the camp. So the camp is where the Israelites were at. And it says, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. So Joshua stayed there at the tabernacle in the presence of the Lord. Now, number one, when it says young aide Joshua, I don't want us to get confused that that means that Joshua was a boy. At this time right here, if we do the math, Joshua was 56 years old. Ezra says that Joshua lived to be 110, 56 years at this time right now, 40 years in the wilderness, 7 years to subdue the land in Canaan, and 7 years dividing the land in Canaan. He lived to be 110 years old. So Joshua is 56 years old here. He's not a young man. The young means he's young in his position. Mm-hmm. So he's not a young man. And they qualify him by it's always a mantle, a qualification of the mantle of his family when it says son of Nun or son of somebody. Because they're qualifying him. They're letting you know that he has importance through his family lineage, through that. So they're showing you Joshua, somebody of great importance. Now, Joshua was with Moses as Moses was meeting, you know, Moses.
I'm really holding back here.
I know you are. I know you are.
Because he's son of Nun. He was a miracle child. He didn't have parents. He was a son of Nun. Okay, sorry.
We need to get a drum in here. Ba-dum-bump. Are you sure you don't want to take this on the road?
Hey, good thing I didn't bring up my whole Ruth and Judges thing. You know, we talked about this before on the air.
I let you get the...
I'm really holding back today.
I let you get the sad you see comment the other week out of the way, but this one was real. This one was bad. So Joshua is at the tent with Moses, okay? So Moses doesn't go and do it alone. You know, and so I think that those of you out there who go, well, I'm not a pastor. Somebody has to give an account for me, but I don't have to give an account for somebody else. Well, number one, I would say that everybody's leading somebody. So there's no such thing as you're not going to give an account for somebody. I'm going to probably give an account for my congregation, but I bet you I'm going to give an account for my family too. And I bet you I'm going to give an account for my relationship with my wife and how I discipled and raised my kids also. So I would say everybody's leading somebody. But what I love is that Moses has somebody with him. And Joshua is faithful. Joshua is faithful to stay in the presence of the Lord while Moses goes to make this intercession. And once again, we can't read too much into this. We can't go, well, I know what Joshua's doing here. He's, you know, and the commentators are so split on this. Commentators say Joshua didn't need to stay and guard the tabernacle because the presence of the Lord was there. So why would the tabernacle need to be guarded? Joshua couldn't go in and stand in the true presence of the Lord because he wasn't in the same position as Moses was. You know, the Lord didn't speak to Joshua yet face to face as one would speak to a friend. But I think that Joshua still stays there. And I wonder, once again, I'm just going to wonder, if he's making intercession, if he's praying, if he's in the presence of the Lord. I mean, the tabernacle would be a place of prayer and worship. It wouldn't be a place where Joshua was just taking a nap or hanging out at. So it's a place of prayer and worship. So I wonder if Joshua was praying and praising and lifting up Moses to God. Because as I read the Bible, as I read the text all the way through, there's a history of God raising up leaders and then putting people at their side. I mean, think about Paul in Philippians, and our church is going through Philippians and teaching through that verse by verse. You know, in the coming weeks, we're going to get into that in chapter 2 where Paul says, there is nobody like Timothy. There is nobody like him. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17, he says, for this reason, I have sent you Timothy, my son whom I love. Do a word search on my son whom I love. There's only one other hit, and that's God speaking to Jesus. Mm. So when Paul uses this, he uses this strong Christological language to let you know how much he cares for Timothy. So there's this history of God raising these people up, and when Paul says there's nobody like Timothy, I don't think he means like, hey, there's no other teacher like Timothy. There's no other disciple like Timothy. I think what he's saying is there's no other friend like Timothy. Somebody who really lifts me up, who prays for me, somebody who really has my side, somebody who I truly enjoy being with. So those of you who go, well, you know what, I don't have to give an account, and I'm not leading a church. You might not be, but you know what, I guarantee you, somebody who is leading within your church or somebody who is leading within your sphere of influence would love to have a Timothy. They would love to have somebody who's submissive in heart, comes and wants to learn, wants to stand by their side, wants to know that they're praying for them, and that person could be you.
Oh, well, Jason, you've given us a lot to think about, a lot to pray about, a lot to dive into God's Word and trust that through His Holy Spirit, He'll enlighten our minds and hearts and find points of application. So let's dig into God's Word today. Let's grow. Let's surrender to Him. Let's obey. And let's support our pastors. And let's encourage one another. Well, speaking of leaders, Jason, Molly is a little leader, and I know she had a sweet little story about sharing God's love with Tasha. Can you just, in our closing minute, recap that little story of how God is raising up these new leaders?
Yeah, it's a great parenting moment. It shows me I have a lot of work still yet to do. And the other day I was at work at the church, and Tasha calls me up, and she said, oh, we were just having a nice time on the couch. And she said, Molly came over to me, and she would grab, you know, my head, and she'd whisper in my ear. She'd go, God loves you. And then she'd go away to the other side of the couch, and she'd come back, and she'd go, Mommy, God really loves you. And then she'd go away, and she'd come back, and she'd go, Mommy, do you know how much God loves you? And then she would go away, and Tasha said, and then she came over, and she grabbed Tasha squarely by the cheeks, looked her in the eyes, and she goes, Jesus wants you to take me to ride the carousel. And I go, number one, she gets it. Number two, she can apply it. And she's three, we are in so much trouble. We need your prayers.
Yeah. Well, we'll close out with that. And certainly we all need prayers. We all need the Lord leading. And those of you that are parents, God delights working in and through you. Raise those kids up in the ways of the Lord. And what a delightful recognition that Molly has about God's love and being loved by her mom and dad and loving Jesus and even in her creative way sharing that with her folks. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.